It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
FBI Director James Comey has just been fired by Donald Trump. Huge Donald Trump fans here tonight. That shows no gratitude at all.
Man.
I mean, what did Trump forget about the Hillary emails that Comey talked about? I mean, thanks for the presidency, Jimmy. Now, don't let the door hit you where the Electoral College split you. I got a question for the audience. When I said that Comey had been fired by Trump, y'all cheered. Why? Is it because what he did to Hillary?
No.
But you know he's investigating Trump's campaign's ties to Russia,
which will now
evaporate like cotton candy in the ocean.
No, you know what you got? You got, they were riding a wave. That was like a beginner surfer's class where they were like, I'm standing up. Oh, no, wait. Oh, no, now I'm on my knees. Hold on. Because
okay.
It was. I hate that guy. I love that guy. But Trump did it, and they didn't know how to feel. And it was interesting to watch.
And here I am. That's interesting to listen to. That's supposed to be funny. Stephen Colbert, delivering comedy. What happened was the news of James Comey's firing came, late afternoon, a couple of days ago. And Stephen Colbert was prepared to do his show. Everybody was gathered. And, he wasn't didn't have time to sort of work out how he was going to, mold the minds of his audience. And so he goes out and announces it, and then they shock him by cheering. And then he's flummoxed because what do you do with that? They're not supposed to cheer. So he says, he shames them by saying, oh, we must have a bunch of Trump supporters here. And then they walk it back, and then he tries to explain in this comedy show, because it's so funny, right, why you shouldn't have cheered, because what you need to know, the proper response is that you don't cheer because Donald Trump was, of course, colluded with the Russians to win the president, the presidential seat, and so you should not be cheering and on and on. So poor Stephen Colbert got caught up by his own audience. It's amazing. And then when you hear them trying to coach the audience as to how they really should feel about it, it is pretty stunning. Catherine Herridge, as always, the definitive reporter on this issue, delivered this last night on Special Report. Let's listen.
The vice president said the decision to fire the FBI director was based on the recommendation of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, a career prosecutor who has worked for Republican and Democratic administrations.
He is a man of extraordinary independence and integrity. I came to work, sat down, and made the recommendation that for the FBI to be able to do its job, that it would need new leadership.
Rosenstein, who was appointed a U.S. attorney under President George W. Bush, lasted all 8 years under President Obama, earning a bipartisan reputation as a straight shooter, a quality on display during his confirmation.
I can certainly assure you, if it's America against Russia or America against any other country, I think everyone in this room knows which side I'm on.
Though Democrats were frustrated by Rosenstein's refusal to commit to a special prosecutor in the Russia probe.
I view it as an issue of principle that as a nominee for Deputy Attorney General, I should not be promising to take action on a particular case.
Rosenstein has been part of several high-profile cases, including Whitewater, that probe Bill and Hillary Clinton's real estate investments, as well as the 2012 federal investigation of retired Marine General James Cartwright, who pled guilty to leaking classified information. As part of the internal review into the FBI director, Rosenstein solicited input from 7 former senior Justice Department executives, including former Attorneys General Eric Holder, a Democrat, and Alberto Gonzalez, a Republican.
There's
so many things that happened in connection with this investigation and how it was handled, how it was announced, that is very, very unusual and very troubling, quite frankly.
Rosenstein and his boss, Attorney General Sessions, are leading the search for an interim director. Comey Deputy Andrew McCabe has the job for now, but political donations from a longtime Clinton confidant to McCabe's wife for a state Senate race are problematic, according to a senior Senate Republican with oversight.
Okay, well, he's got political problems because of Gauliffe helping his wife, and I don't think he's a person that should be taking over.
And late today, Fox News confirming that McCabe went to the White House to meet with President Trump to talk about morale here at the Bureau. And tomorrow he heads to Capitol Hill instead of Comey, where he'll testify about the threats facing the Bureau at the annual hearing before the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Okay, in case you missed that, Andrew McCabe is the deputy under James Comey. He is the gentleman tasked with overseeing the review of Hillary Clinton's email when the investigation was still allegedly going on. I'm sure it must not be now, but nobody seems worried about that. And then we find out that Andrew McCabe has a wife that was paid $700,000 by Terry McAuliffe, a Clinton operative, to run for Senate in Maryland. And McCabe actually appeared in at least one of her campaign commercials. And by the way, FBI agents are not allowed to be political in any way. If you're caught at a rally or if you're caught wearing a button or tipping your hand in any kind of political commitment, that is how pure the FBI has sought to be in terms of political things. So here's McCabe's wife running for Senate, being paid $700,000 by a Clinton operative to run, and he's tasked with overseeing the investigation of Mrs. Clinton's email. And by the way, I have to tell you, FBI agents have to report all of their income and their spouse's income in detail, and they have to do it. I don't know if it's yearly. It might even be yearly. They have to disclose everything about their finances. And Andrew McCabe, the acting FBI director now, allegedly, we think he's going to be, did not reveal that on his financial forms. That's a breach of conduct. I don't know what the punishment normally is. It could even be dismissal, because I told you that you cannot lie as an agent. You cannot. If you're caught lying about anything, the use of your car, the use of your finances, anything, you are out. So it's interesting, to say the least. Now, Andrew McCabe is also the person that told Reince Priebus, probably, was it 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, 2 months, I'm thinking, in a meeting, as an aside, that the Russian probe was all, and I believe he used a word I probably can't use on the air, was all blank. And then Reince Priebus ask the FBI director to issue an official word on that. And the FBI director, James Comey, refused to do that. So these are details that are important that I want you to know. Now, this morning, the New York Times has this whole narrative, enough was enough, how festering anger at Comey ended in his firing. And it goes through talking about how unhinged Donald Trump became. And Comey is quoted as saying, according to his associates, that Donald Trump was outside the realm of normal, even crazy. So, and then they're reporting that when Mr. Trump was watching the hearings this week, that he was very angry when Comey said he was mildly nauseous to think that his handling of the email case had influenced the election. And on it goes. So they have all their speculation. And then also the Washington Post reported yesterday that Comey sought more money for Russian probe days before he was fired by President Trump. Now, that was the report from the Washington Post. And, of course, the allegation is that because he asked for more money for that Russian probe, because obviously President Trump colluded, we all know, with the Russians. They did things that were untoward. They colluded in order to win the election. And so that's, of course, the narrative. And so naturally, of course, now Comey asked for more money for the probe, and then Trump fires him. But then here's the other report. DOJ came out yesterday saying that's not true. Department of Justice is denying a New York Times report that Comey requested additional money for the investigation info into Russia election meddling just days before he was fired. The story is totally false, DOJ spokeswoman Isgur Flores told the Daily Caller. The New York Times cited three unnamed officials with knowledge, saying that Comey had asked for a significant increase in funding and personnel for the probe shortly before his firing. And so DOJ saying that's absolutely not true. It was interesting because the way the media is covering it, of course, the Democrats want President Trump impeached. You do know that. And they're laying the groundwork for that. They're doing everything they possibly can, and the media is doing all they can to jump in. This is a montage on Fox and Friends this morning of various national hosts commenting on this, and just listen to the way they address it.
In a previous career, President Trump was a master at explaining why he fired someone. But critics are not buying his explanation for the firing of James Comey. The timing raises questions. Comey had just asked for more resources for his investigation of Russian interference in the U.S. election, including possible collusion by Team Trump.
But Democrats tonight say they know why. They say it all comes down to Russia.
And adding to the White House concerns this week are new indications the investigation may have expanded to include Trump's business and personal finances.
FBI insiders tell NBC News that many at FBI headquarters believe he was fired because he would not end the Russia investigation.
Well, I have to tell you that many inside FBI headquarters are actually happy that Comey's gone. They were frustrated that he did not pursue. And look, nothing was ever even done about the Clinton Foundation. And I spent a great deal of time really at this microphone. Remember, some of you will, who listened to the program faithfully, that I interviewed a man from Haiti who had been, I believe the Secretary of State was his title, nearly in tears at what the Clinton Foundation had done to Haiti. The money they had stolen, assets that they had actually plundered and given to friends of theirs. It was an amazing story and just one tiny part of what the Clinton Foundation was all about. No investigation of that, nothing. So, and I also, yesterday I read to you a list from Grabian of just 10 different things that happened under Comey's watch that were egregious, and one of them was the FBI going into a group in Texas who were meeting, talking about the sovereignty of Texas. So they go inside the meeting and they demand IDs, they demand personal information, they do a raid on this meeting of people who are just talking about the future of Texas. Probably people, maybe even some that listen to this show, I don't know. But under Comey's leadership, there was a bias, an opinion. You know, if the other thing that has to be said is that James Comey, again, I said this yesterday, but this to me is so egregious. It is a felony to unmask and reveal information to media sources of national security information, like they did with the conversation with Michael Flynn and the Russian ambassador. And so Comey, and also then to release, do you remember how they talked to us about the words that were said between Donald Trump and world leaders after he was took office? They leaked, somebody leaked this to the press. Comey had no interest in finding that out. None whatsoever, zero, zip, zed, nada. And so there were problems with James Comey. I certainly believe that. And if I don't know if you do or not, doesn't matter. I'm just here to tell you what I believe are the conclusions that should be made from the facts that are handed to me from people who are in the know. And so, and by the way, Catherine Herridge did a follow-up report. We're going to, Jeff, let's play this clip before we take the break. This is the last one for this segment. Catherine Herridge really laid some stuff out that I had not heard a couple of nights ago, and I actually missed this, and I want you to hear it. Catherine Herridge on Fox. Just a few
everything nights. That has been indicated to me is that the investigation will continue, and it may wrap up at some point soon this year. But the accusation against the former FBI director, and this comes mostly from Republicans, is that he has been sort of slow walking records about the Americans who were identified or unmasked in these intelligence reports and providing them to Congress. And the reason that's a big deal is that everyone in the IC and the intelligence community knows that there is no bigger, deeper, wider, more extensive paper trail than there is when you unmask or identify an American citizen. And it should not take months. It should take weeks, if not the course of several days, to know who was unmasked and who made those requests, and that has not been provided to Congress based on our reporting.
Actually, you know, the president had asked the director directly, who is doing the unmasking, and the director refused to tell him. All right, so I have an opinion about this. I'm going to open the phone lines today. Let's talk about this. I'm sure that you're I'm just thinking, you're dying to talk about it too. What are your thoughts about this? Our phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Let's have a little chat here. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I love to lead people to Jesus Christ as a layman outside the walls of the church. You know, it's not about being good. Being good doesn't lead anyone to Jesus. There are lots of good people who don't know God, and obviously, they're not leading anyone to Him, and neither will you by merely being good. Being good doesn't earn you a ticket to heaven or attract anyone else to follow you there. In most cases, people pass judgment on you faster than you can share your faith with them. That's why your success in leading people to the Lord is hugely dependent on your personal integrity. It's only when your words match your walk that they have integrity. The enjoyment of being seen as a good person is self-righteousness. The enjoyment of being seen as a good person whose goodness comes from God is the ultimate fulfillment of God's purpose for your life. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everybody you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com. This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I love to lead people to Jesus Christ as a layman outside the walls of the church. You know, it's not about being good. Being good doesn't lead anyone to Jesus. There are lots of good people who don't know God, and obviously, they're not leading anyone to Him, and neither will you by merely being good. Being good doesn't earn you a ticket to heaven or attract anyone else to follow you there. In most cases, people pass judgment on you faster than you can share your faith with them. That's why your success in leading people to the Lord is hugely dependent on your personal integrity. It's only when your words match your walk that they have integrity. The enjoyment of being seen as a good person is self-righteousness. The enjoyment of being seen as a good person whose goodness comes from God is the ultimate fulfillment of God's purpose for your life. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everybody you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
A grade school in British Columbia, Canada, has canceled Mother's Day. School leaders at Albert McMahon Elementary School sent a letter to parents telling them not to expect any homemade cards or craft projects for Mother's Day or Father's Day. Instead of celebrating mom and dad, the school wants kids to celebrate diversity and inclusivity. And, of course, nothing says inclusivity like excluding moms and dads. The school wanted to be sensitive to children from non-traditional families. But as one parent wrote on Facebook, why do Canadians need to give up their traditions to appease non-traditional families? It's a question we've been dealing with on this side of the border, too, where sex and gender revolutionaries are systematically dismantling the definition of mom and dad and family. You know, it says a lot about a society when something as sacred as Mother's Day is shoved aside for the sake of inclusivity. I'm Todd Stearns.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
There has never been any evidence presented that President Trump had anything to do with any of this. So that's, I think it's really important. I think they mentioned this a testimony just the other day in the Senate. So that's point number one. So let's make sure that there's no innuendo improperly being made here. The second point is these investigations are continuing on. The people at the FBI who do the investigations are still there working in on the job. So I think that's just an important point to be made there as well. So look, the way I look at this is let's keep these investigations going. That's what we've been doing. That's what we will continue to do. And I don't know all that led up to this decision. The administration, I'm sure, will make that clear about the process that led to this, but also let's make sure we have a clear process going on from here. And that means find a suitable replacement soon, make sure that people do their jobs. And I believe that the committees in Congress that are looking into all things Russia are the appropriate committees doing that, and they're doing their jobs. So we're just going to see where this goes. That's right. But I think it's really important to know that there has been no evidence presented in any of this stage of this that suggests that this collusion occurred. So I think it's really important that people know that. But yes, there's a lot of things we're still looking at. We're looking at who did the unmasking of Mike Flynn. There are a lot of those questions that still have yet to be answered. I can speak to the fact that the president saw an FBI director where people had lost confidence in him from both parties, including high senior officials at the Justice Department, and he acted. And that's what a president can and should do.
All right, that's Speaker Paul Ryan, and I was relieved, actually, that he said things with as much force as he did. So that was good. Good for Paul Ryan, I think, for supporting the president on this. Unlike other senators of the same party, Senator Richard Burr is head of the Intelligence Committee in the Senate, and Jeff, let's play cut six. This is what Senator Burr, in strong defense of President Trump, had to say.
Timing and the reasons for this decision made little sense to me, and I don't think I've heard anything since last night that would clarify that in any way. The reasoning from the DAG's letter dealt with an election issue that was from last year. If that was the impetus behind this, it should have been done on Inauguration Day, not in May.
Well, thank you, Senator Burr. Thank you. You know, I guess he missed the memo about Rosenstein, who wrote the letter, who was the acting, he's the one overseeing now the Russian probe, asking for Comey's resignation, who was just confirmed, what, 10 days ago? So it's like timing. There. Remember that Jeff Sessions has just been confirmed a couple of months, or maybe not even that. And so I guess, you know, that's kind of hard to put together for Senator Burr. And if you can see how objective he is. He's leading this intelligence committee, and you can see he's all over Trump. He's all over the team Trump, right, in the support of his president. Well, maybe not. And then, of course, there's John McCain. And here's the headline for John McCain. He spoke at a national security meeting just yesterday, and he says there will be more shoes to drop, according to the Washington Post. This scandal is going to go on. I've seen it before. McCain told a meeting of Munich Security Conference Core Group, "This is a centipede. I guarantee you there will be more shoes to drop. I could just guarantee it. There's just too much information that we don't have that will be coming out." And then he goes on to say, "I remember," now he sounds very much like a Democrat, because the Democrats are trying to compare this to Watergate, when Richard Nixon hired the special prosecutor. "I remember the Saturday night massacre," McCain told the mostly European and American guests, referring to the 73 incident, blah, 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 blah. "Probably the most respected individual in all of American government is probably the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I'm very sorry this had to happen." And then he goes on and on. They said he said a lot more damning things privately that they didn't write in the article. But remember, this is the McCain who flew all over the world trying to get that fake dossier prepared by that British, former British intelligence agent, who the FBI evidently paid in part to prepare this dossier that was full of just unbelievable nonsense. John McCain was flying all over the globe trying to get someone to listen to it, to try to get Donald Trump not elected. And he still holds on to that. It reminds, I mean, so there you go. So with friends like Richard Burr and John McCain, the president should be just fine. Those are his defenders, you know, in the Senate. All right, I want to know what you have to say. Phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Patsy in Louisiana. Good morning, Patsy.
Good morning, Sunday. I am just beside myself out here this morning. For 8 years, I screamed. I called my congressman. I called my senator. I called Democrats, screaming for the impeachment of Obama for the crimes he was committing against this country, just totally ignoring our Constitution. And to my knowledge, Trump has not committed any impeachable offenses. But yet Obama and Hillary were in bed with the Russians. I mean, have we forgotten that Hillary sold what percentage of our uranium to Russia?
Yeah, evidently we have.
This whole world has gone crazy. This country has is upside down, inside out, and backwards. And is there no stopping the lying of the Democrats and the left?
Well, Patsy, you know, yes, I think there is. I think, you know, by look at you, listen to you. You've been calling, listen, I always feel, obviously I do, I wouldn't be doing this. Truth is so powerful. Why do you think they want to silence just one person who speaks the truth? And so there is power in truth. As long as we're able to talk about this and speak about it and expose it, yes, there's power. I guess, you know, really, I'm surprised that the Democrats are not getting more traction. Well, they've got all of the media. They've got all of the microphones, the loud megaphones, and I'm surprised, honestly, they're not getting as more traction than they are. I remember that Rolling Stone magazine, I may have mentioned this yesterday, I can't remember, they did a whole article on this Russian collusion thing, probably, I don't know, it's been sometime in the last 6 months, and they mocked it. They thought about how ridiculous. And so, you know, it's even getting down to that point where readers of Rolling Stone understand that this is really silly. It really is ridiculous. So, Patsy, I think we actually have held some ground here, even though it doesn't seem like it. And so just hang in there and keep speaking the truth and keep calling. And the truth will prevail eventually. Don't know when, but it will. Thanks a lot, Patsy. Thanks so much. Let's go to William in Georgia. Good morning, William. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, Sandy. I'm a first-time caller to your show on your show where I had a couple of statements. I want to make them as detailed and brief as I possibly can,
okay.
And I'll follow up with a question. But my first statement is this. You know, it amazes me how, you know, mainly all of the Democrats and even a few of the Republicans, you know, as long as it fits their narratives, they're willing to say that we want to fire James Comey gone. But when all of a sudden when it's being implemented and it goes against their narratives, they renege on what they said. And but the second thing is, you know, I'm actually amazed that, you know, when it comes to the question of all these scandals that are going on with these career politicians, that none of these people have been questioned under oath, because that will bring a whole lot of accountability to the matter.
And, but, well, you know, William, let me interject. Hold your thought for a second. Comey is now scheduled to testify next week. And also the Senate Intelligence Committee is finally bringing Michael Flynn before them. And you know what? I'm eager for that. Well, let's find out what Michael Flynn said to the Russian ambassador. You probably heard me say that yesterday. Look, if it's so bad, then let's hear it. Let's find out. Let's see the transcript. For heaven's sake, the left, who has the transcript, the Washington Post, who has the transcript, somehow just doesn't want to release it. I say, let's get it out. Let's find out what horrible, terrible, no good thing Lieutenant General Flynn did. Let's find out what they have. What evidence do they have that there was collusion with the Russians? Let's hear it, for heaven's sake. And I think, you know, maybe they, God willing, they are going to do it, William. So anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go on.
No, you're fine. I hope they do. I mean, but my biggest question is, you know, why is it taking so long for them to do all this? This should have been something that should have been done a long time ago, because the American people are not fooled by this leftist narrative that's been taking place in this office. I mean, and it's going to affect the election in a way they keep it up.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, William. All right, let me ask you, do you think Comey should have been fired?
I believe he should have been fired a long time ago. I mean, especially when it came to all the cover-ups from the Hillary Clinton investigation. You know, when Loretta Lynch had that meeting with Bill Clinton while the investigation was going on and he didn't do anything about it, he should have been gone then.
Yeah, I'm with you. At the very least, you know, if he didn't, he should have at least resigned over principle, because that was outrageous. That was outrageous that the sitting attorney general should meet with the husband of a candidate for presidency on a private meeting on the tarmac in Phoenix. That was absolutely, I don't know if it was a, I don't was, it wasn't a breaking of a law, but it was certainly a breaking of good faith by the lead in, law enforcement officer in the country. It was a colluding with an election, obvious colluding. That was just unacceptable, and the FBI director should not have let that gone by. I'm with you very much, William, on that. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate your listening, and thanks for calling. It's nice to talk to you. Let's go to Carol in Virginia. Good morning, Carol.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good.
I'm kind of touching on the media montage and
know the ultimate responsibility for truth is for us to speak it, but we all know that the media plays such a role in our decisions and their thinking, and unfortunately we don't use their brains to speak the truth. So I'm so thankful for y'all that I've chosen y'all for the last 16 years to listen to. My question is, or my thought, do you think the media is ever going to be held accountable for not giving us the news and just being such a part of the big brotherhood of the left?
You know, Carol, I think in a free society, as long as they're free, the only way they can be held accountable is by consumers. And it's true, you know, you think about, at least before this last few months where Fox has been going through their turmoil, the people have spoken. Fox has grown, and, you know, CNN used to be the big dog. CNN isn't anymore. So I think that by the free market principle of people just voting with what they watch, a huge difference. Look at conservative talk radio. There is no progressive talk radio. That's because nobody listens, because it's nonsense, because they can't make sense of their colluded ideas. Their ideas cannot be explained in words. They can only be explained in movies and impressions and music coming up and colors, because it's all feelings. It isn't facts and information. So it does not work in talk. As if you strip it of all the visual, it doesn't. You can't make the case. So leftist radio doesn't work, so nobody tunes in. They've tried it. Nobody listens. Conservative radio is still, as you know, going strong. So I think we are having an effect, and I think we have to continue to vote with our, you know, vote with our what we choose to tune into, Carol, and I do think we're having an impact. So I hope that's a good answer for you, but it is the answer.
It is. No, okay. It is. And I just, you know, I hear so many people say, oh, I saw in the news, the headline in the paper said this, and I'm like, well, what did you find out about that? You know, it's like they're grabbed right from the get-go.
Now, well, the problem is, you know, people are living busy lives. They shouldn't have to deal with a barrage of propaganda where they can't trust anything. It should not be that way. And, you know, the only way, Carol, when I started doing radio in the 90s, one observation early on, now it's a duh, it's actually just a big duh, was that with the breakdown of honesty and integrity in the culture, every single thing was breaking down. Whether it was the way bankers did business with people, whether it was the way you did business in a store exchanging money, whether it was, you know, the trust that we had as a country because we expected honesty in our dealings and in our words. It was the norm. It was the expectation. It wasn't always met. But when you have a breakdown of moral a conscience, and you have a breakdown of just the basic integrity and honesty of a people, then it feeds, it finds itself its way into the halls of Congress. It finds its way into the judiciary, because lying has become a part of the fabric of the American people, because we are a fallen people. We have forgotten our God. We have forgotten that we must speak the truth. And so it's breaking down the bonds of civil society everywhere. And so we're going to have to, the answer, of course, is much deeper than a law. It's got to be a revival in the hearts of God's people, so that people understand and rediscover how important it is to be truthful, that we serve the God of all truth. And that's the only thing that's going to restore across the board, whether it's in politics or news or whatever we're doing, our dealing, doctors, medical, everything. We are just overwhelmed and bombarded with lies and misinformation, because it's a breakdown of civil society, and only God can restore that. So it's up to us, the people of God. And God, there's nothing he can't do through his people. Nothing. So, Carol, thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Jim. Oh, Jim, hang on. Can you hold on a second? We got to take a break. I just did not pay attention to the clock, but I'll be back to you first in just a second. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk. By the way, the phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. It really is a pleasure and a privilege to talk to you. So let's do some more of it. I'll be back right after this. We'll be right back.
So Aaron took it as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague had already begun among the people. And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stopped. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Often when the concept of intercession is raised, we normally think about prayer, and we should. Prayer is one form of intercession. Here we see another, living intercession. At the climax of a plague, Aaron runs into the fray, armed with incense, and where he stands, the plague stops. Aaron literally stands between the living and the dead. May God move us to be living intercessors for our day, and where we take our stand in Christ, the plague stops.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The Bible says that worship is warfare, and when you worship God, you do battle with the enemy. And I love to think about it this way. It just exhausts him. He has to work 10 times as hard to get anything done. Praise God. Let's wear the old man out.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for Hallowed Be Thy Name on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Sunday morning at 7 Central on AFR Talk.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Back in 07, my father passed away. My mother had passed away 7 years earlier, and they left me a small inheritance, and I wanted to give back to AFA for all they have done for me.
Carol talks about her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I am an avid listener to AFR, 12 hours a day, and I hear Dan Celia talking about the charitable gift annuity. I liked what the gift annuity offered, donated a certain amount, and from that, I get a check every month, which is retirement income for me.
If you'd like to support the work of the AFA and receive a fixed income for life, a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation may just be what you're looking for. Learn more by contacting the Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The situation on the Korean Peninsula feels, as Yogi Berra famously quipped, like deja vu all over again. For its part, the regime on the northern side of the Demilitarized Zone is once again combining its acquisition of ever more dangerous weapons with increasing belligerency towards its neighbors and the United States. And once again, South Koreans have responded to the clear and growing menace from the North by electing a president who believes he can mitigate it through appeasement, pursued via what is euphemistically known as a sunshine policy. We've seen this movie before, and it doesn't end well. Rewarding North Korean bullying and military buildups simply encourages more of the same, and inexorably increases the threat from Pyongyang. The United States must stand firm and insist on actually protecting our forces and people from that threat. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Frankly, he'd been considering letting Director Comey go since the day he was elected.
Is it too late now to ask him to step in?
No, it's not too late, but, you know, I have confidence in him. We'll see what happens. You know, it's going to be interesting.
Well, that's why I'm asking. Why is he still in the job?
Saying, well, because I want to give everybody a good, fair chance.
The president has confidence in the director.
It took guts for Director Comey to make the move that he made, what he did. He brought back his reputation.
He
you seemed quite happy with him at that point. What changed?
He was a candidate for president, not the president. Those are two very different things.
Why did you fire Director Comey?
Because he wasn't doing a good job, very simply. He was not doing a good job.
Just a little reminder of some of the things that led up, some of the comments. Remember that this has been a real process. I remember after President Trump was elected, I wanted him to get rid of Comey immediately. I have to say, there was a lot of mistrust. You remember there was a near all-out rebellion out of the state of New York by the FBI directors who've gotten into Anthony Weiner's laptop and found all kinds of unbelievable stuff. That whole thing was just... Remember that they were rebelling inside the FBI if their director didn't do something. And that was squelched. I don't think we still know quite what that was all about. And so, but of course, because of the Russia probe, it would have looked then, certainly, like Donald Trump was trying to get rid of Comey over the Russia probe. I have to tell you, I think this Russia thing is completely, completely fabricated. Totally and completely fabricated. And, you know, you can say anything about anyone and repeat it enough times and you can put a shadow or a veil or a sort of a shadow of confidence over someone by simply implying something, which is what they have been doing. And it is true. I think one of our earlier callers pointed out, and I'll just repeat, that the Democrats are up to their ears in collusion with Russia. Remember when President Obama, in an off-mic remark, said to Medvedev, tell Vladimir I'll have more flexibility when next I'm elected. Tell him I'll have more wink wink flexibility. So that's just a tiny thing. Then we have the letter from Edward Kennedy colluding with the communist Russians to beat Ronald Reagan when he challenged him in the election, I think it's 1980. I mean, so don't tell me about collusion with the Russians. I guess the Democrats should know all about it. They've been doing it for decades. And before I go back to the phones, let me just say, I always enjoy your email, your Facebook posts. I may not get a chance to address each of them. I can't. And I can't respond to you personally. Hardly ever do I do that. So please don't be offended. It's just a matter of being overwhelmed. But I want to mention, Michael sent me an email that was just fascinating. He's down in Richmond. He went to a ecumenical trialogue at the Confessor Catholic Church, St. Edward the Confessor Catholic Church. And it was a so-called dialogue between an imam, a Lutheran and Methodist pastor, a female rabbi, and a Catholic deacon. And of course, he went. He has a lot of expertise on Islam. He took a graduate level course on Islam at Regent, and he went with a friend who is an expert on Islam and jihad. And they were the odd men out. Let me just tell you, they really got singled out. The discussion was all that you would imagine that it was. A woman in her late 60s said, "Isn't it funny that these conversations are always dominated by white Christian males?" She said, "Jihad isn't the discussion tonight. No one in this room holds that interpretation." And so, Michael, I really appreciated your email on this. We should put this on the Facebook, Michael. You should post it on the Facebook so people can read this, because it was excellent, and it is a great example to all of us of taking responsibility where you live to make a difference, to go and speak up, because what he and his friend did was pretty amazing in that meeting. And so thanks for sending that, Michael, and thanks for being such a great patriot and also just speaking the truth when you're the only people doing it in a hostile gathering like that. God bless you. All right, so let's go back to Jim in Oklahoma. Good morning, Jim. Back we go to you.
Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
What a pleasure to speak with you. I've listened to you for about 4 years, and you're about the only place I can get real truth that I feel like sometimes.
I hope that's not true. I hope that's not true, but thank you for that kindness. All right, so what's on your mind?
Let's start with Comey. I feel like he should have not only got his termination papers, he should have got a warrant to search his office and his residence. You know, he's been trying to undermine our Constitution and our way of law and our type of government for a long time, and I feel like that's treason. I'm an old soldier myself, and I, you know, if I went to doing that, I would be locked up.
You know what, Jim? I think the most egregious thing that you could say legally is that he has refused to reveal or investigate who unmasked American citizens and leaked that to the press. That I'm with you. That's he's colluding then. Because, as Catherine said in her report, it's not that hard to figure out who that is. But I would say this, Jim, because he was fired the way he was, you have to know, and I'm sure you do, that his laptop, his computer, everything that he has, his files, his letters on his desk, are all product, you know, the belongings of the FBI. And so he didn't have any warning. And so I'm guessing that somebody will actually be looking at those. I would accept, you know, who knows is back in that office and doing that. I just don't know. But you would think that would take place. Jim, thanks. I really appreciate your comments. Let's go to Tian in Florida. Good morning, Tian.
Yes, good morning, Sandy. I would probably say I was good to talk to you again since your days at WYLL in Chicago.
Thank you, Tian.
Yes, one of the things I would say is that with James Comey, I think he's part of the swamp, and I think we all know that. But how far does this go? I mean, who are the people that are working with James Comey underneath him? And the reason why I ask that is because if he can just completely ignore, as one of the callers brought up, the meeting with Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton, not to mention there's so many more emails and things to go through. I don't even think he even got through maybe even a quarter of them, you know, in regards to Hillary Clinton. And I think if there's any collusion, it would have been during the election when he could have brought Hillary Clinton up on all of these charges and he decides not to. I mean, I think that there is, and not only that, again, he's not the only one. Who else is there with him that Trump needs to look at it and possibly terminate?
Well, I'm with you on that, Tian. I kind of, I think I said, but I'll say again, we don't need a half measure. We need a total purge. And if I fall to Trump administration so far, it's like they have just not gone far enough. They started out doing these great and bold things, and then they back up. And you cannot listen. If you're going to act, you got to do it. You got to finish the job. And I'm with you. If you leave people around who are still working against you, it's going to come back to bite you. It's not going to end well. Tian, this is an article I'm not going to get to read this morning. I had wanted to, but we'll put this on our Facebook page. But in regard, for instance, to Sally Yates, who was fired by Donald Trump, she was the acting attorney general who refused to enforce that immigration order. We now know, Paul Sperry did a long article on this morning. There's a lot about this. But the one part I want to mention is that Sally Yates is a total Democratic supporter. Her great uncle was a former Democratic U.S. Senator, governor of Georgia. Her husband twice ran for Congress as a Democrat. The Federal Election Commission records show that her family has given tens of thousands of dollars to Hillary Clinton and that her husband gave a lot to Obama after she was appointed by Obama to serve, I think, as a U.S. attorney. So that's her background. This is her background. These are the people that are still in place. At least she's not anymore, but those are the kinds of people who are around Director Comey, for heaven's sake. I mentioned the Andrew McCabe, whose wife was given $700,000 by Terry McAuliffe, the Clinton operative, to run for Senate. McCabe did not claim that money. He's an FBI. He was the assistant FBI director in charge of investigating Hillary's email. That's just egregious, especially when you have an FBI that is supposed to be, aspires to be, brags and boasted and should be completely apolitical. You have political people, including the director, doing some very dangerous things. And Tian, just to add before I let you go, insiders, I believe it was Joe DiGenova that I heard say in a briefing that Comey had anticipated that Mrs. Clinton was going to win. And so when he came out in July of last year talking about all the bad things she had done, which she should never have done, because an investigator never does that, and then said he wasn't bringing charges, he had expected at that point that she was going to win. It would all be moot. It wouldn't matter. But it backfired on him. She didn't win. And so then he is in this half-life of having, you know, damaged her reputation and not bringing charges, and then he's got to double back and, you know, he's got to cover for himself, and he didn't do it very effectively, and so he's out. Thank God for that. Tian, it's nice to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening from down there in Florida and also for just your kind words. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Let's go to Toby in Arkansas. Good morning, Toby.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. I just want to say that freedom of the press is not freedom to subvert and destroy the United States. The continual flow of fake news is a treasonous, subversive act. And if we, the people, will get together, there are things we can do. Think about launching massive numbers of class action lawsuits against the press for attempting to subvert the United States and subvert the Constitution. Good lawyers can take that case to court. We may not win, but we need to tie them up and hold them accountable. As far as James Comey goes, he needs to be arrested for his part in obstruction of justice. We need to realize, Sandy, that there is an all-out assault by the communist and other evil forces in this country against liberty, against freedom of speech, and more particularly against the church, to silence the voice of the church. And the church is the only entity on this earth that has the power to stand up against this by the power of the Spirit of God. Donald Trump cannot do it on his own. He will not succeed on his own. The church has to get in our place and do what God has called us to do, to pray and to assault the gates of hell that are attempting to silence the church and destroy this nation.
Yeah, Toby, I don't think you're overstating it. I would I would add to that, the church needs to do that, but with the goal in mind of advancing the kingdom, not of preserving the country. Now, I know that sounds contradictory coming from me, but I have to say that I think when the church starts, and I'm not saying you're saying this, when the church's mission becomes the preservation of the country, that's not a good mission. I think that's what the moral majority did. We want it to be like it was in the old days. What our mission has to be is claiming this ground for the gospel of Jesus Christ and taking the consequences, whatever comes. And that may mean tremendous persecution. It may mean the loss of our country. I don't know. But it is advancing the kingdom that has to be our battle cry, and not a political aim. And so, but Toby, well said. I don't disagree with anything that you said. Let's go quickly to Kristen. Kristen, you've got the last word here.
Hey, thanks, Sandy Rios. I appreciate it. I just wanted to say that I think we spend a lot of time wasting our time talking about what the Democrats are always pointing the finger at, and we really need to have someone to be the voice such as you and more of you replicated so that we can tell people what we want to do. Like, let's just ignore what they're saying and, like, move forward. I'm just tired of wasting time defending, you know?
You know what, Kristen, I think one thing that Christians could do differently you've heard me say this in a lot of different ways, stop not speaking up. Stop being quiet. You know, the left is getting really bold. I don't know if you've noticed that. Do you find that neighbors and friends even are just, even on people on airplanes, I'm finding all kinds of people are just getting really nasty. And it's like they want to fight. And so then we get quiet. We get quiet. I said, don't get quiet. I'm not asking you to get in a fight. I'm just saying, speak the truth. Just lay it out there unapologetically. You have no idea who else is listening when you speak the truth. Other people standing by who are emboldened by your strength of character and your ability to articulate, you know, what you believe and what you understand to be true. So let's just don't hold your tongue. Speak up. Say something. This sounds like do something. It sounds like at the beginning of the show, not the ending. But Kristen, listen, it's great to hear from you. Speak up. Say something today on behalf of Jesus and on behalf of the truth, because all truth is God's truth. This is Sandy Rios. Oh, by the way, tomorrow, a great program on what's happening in LGBT rights in the country. You don't want to miss it. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.